of Steam, Steel, and Murder back again, and this time presenting you with an actual Steam, Steel, and Murder game. This was a one-shot playtest to try out the new Fate Core rules with a few minor modifications for the SSM universe. This takes place a year after the bomb fell on London. When the normal SSM schedule takes place, it will be 2 years removed from that event. The players in this one were Jameis, Joshua, Marcus, and Nick. This is part one of two. Okay, so we have a one shot of SSM. This is going to be a prelude to the third season. And what we have here is a team of Metapolian Rangers who are being sent to Great Britain to ascertain a few things. So in the SSM world, last season we had a Tilling gas bomb being dropped on London proper, causing a lot of devastation, and even worse, apparently, making the walls between realities a little thin. This is something your previous characters had some experience with, as you had ran into T-Rays before.
But we know nothing about.
This team knows nothing about them, and that is for special characters only.
Thanks, Marlo, for passing on that information.
No problem. You're not.
Well, Marlo passed on a sheet of paper that was largely redacted. Basically, you only got words like the, here, you.
Run away. Everything else is now. Blacking. Don't come back. Keep running away.
Are you violet level cleared? If not, then, well, you're expendable. See definition of expendable.
Luckily for me, I'm ultraviolet.
Oh, not violet. Too bad.
Sorry, Marlo wasn't violet either.
Nope, no one is violet level cleared. Guess what? Everyone's expendable!
All right, so you're a group of rangers that are called Rogers Rangers. And yes, this is the famous Rogers Rangers from the French War in America, French-American War.
French and Indian War.
French-Indian War.
Actually, 7 years war.
He fought in many wars.
Including on the wrong side.
Yes.
Problem is, I'm now thinking of Rescue Rangers, so we've got Chippendale, Monterey, Jack, and Gadget.
So I have provided a link to standing orders of the Rogers Rangers, which is the historical sheet of things that all Rangers should adhere to.
Does that mean good we're advice. All 20 over 20 yards away from each other?
Apparently so. We have to stay.
Yeah, because the idea is that during his time, it was all cap and ball type of weaponry that was not very accurate at range. So you got in close. That was the point. I will amend this for SSM, of course.
Well, good, because my character likes to get in close.
All right. So your mission is your bosses are wanting you to infiltrate the ruins of London. Apparently, some sort of measure the Germans have put into place to contain the T-rays are keeping the further spread of the after effects of the bomb. Your superiors are thinking that getting a hold of this technology and figuring exactly what powers it, seeing they have some technology that's capable of degaussing Tilling gas rays, as your characters do know, but it's a fairly large scale because it requires so much energy, and they really don't have any idea how 3R is powering this enormous fence that encompasses a 50-mile radius from London.
That's impressively big.
Yeah.
It's a lot of material to build it. I don't know where they got the material from, let alone powering it.
Currently, Great Britain is under occupation from 3R. They have put out a standing edict that any citizens still there wishing to come over and become members of the Great German Order may do so. They'll be coming in as probationary citizens until such a time as they see fit to make them full members. Most people have fled to this point. Most people have fled to Ireland, actually.
I would have thought Scotland would have been a more appropriate place.
Well, Scotland is under siege of its own. But some people did stay behind, either because they couldn't get away, or to help power the resistance that is in evidence there as well. So we do have a resistance movement that's still in Britain.
Damn it, we can't say Viva la Resistance. We're in the wrong country.
Yes, it is. is now not the French Resistance, now the...
We can say, go Resistance, woo.
Right. So the way they figured out to get you into the area is they're going to use one of their high atmospheric airplanes to try and circumvent the German cordon over the airspace, and you're going to be basically launched out and parachute in. You have been given a map and coordinates to a friendly village who is part of the Resistance covertly. They are allowed to maintain their village and populace because they are, as a front, supporting the German cause. There you are to meet a farmer and his wife, Easterlings, who will help you provide you transport and what materials you may need to get to the cordoned off area outside the bomb blast area, as well as any other assistance that they may be able to hand you. Everyone is being equipped with a rifle. Since this is Metapolian specially made guns, they are semi-automatic. They hold 30 shots. You are given 2 clips.
Wow.
And need to be powered by a Tesla generator. Whoops.
No, they don't. These are normal ballistic guns. You are also wearing a special uniform that, while enabling you to blend in with some environments, also gives you a little bit of damage protection, mostly ballistic. It's not going to do a lot of good if someone's stabbing you, but if someone's shooting you, it does disperse the kinetic energy somewhat. It's going to act as a level 1 armor. Your guns are a +3.
Ooh, that's quite a lot.
Too bad I'm not trained. I've only basically trained to use a gun.
The reason you only get 2 clips is because the bullets are very specialized. They're armor piercing. They're lower velocity rounds. They don't make a lot of noise when they're fired. Unfortunately, they're not great over long distances.
Thankfully, shoot is my highest skill.
Do we have any sort of survival gear?
Yes, you have a basic survival kit bag, which includes things like, a survival knife, some fishing strings, dehydrated fruits, nuts, that sort of thing, but not a lot. You're expected to be able to forage or get help from locals as needed. If there is a mechanic amongst you, anyone do crafts?
I got it up to 4.
Okay, you are provided with a small utility roll-up. It's basically a canvas. It would be like a tank tank repairman's bag. It's a canvas roll-up that's got basic tools in it.
I took demolition as a stunt. Do I have explosives?
You have explosives.
Good.
You have enough for, let's say, 1 large charge or up to 3 smaller charges.
Thank you.
Anyone else have a specialized skill that they think they should be outfitted with something because of?
I have a fairly high survival knowledge. I don't know that.
All right. Well, with a higher survival knowledge, what else would you like other than the basics we mentioned?
If we do compasses work this close to the great? I mean, do we have that basic kit?
Actually, yeah, you have a compass in it, but part of this is an information gathering journey. There's not been able to get a lot of information out of the areas directly surrounding London, so no one knows if your compass will work or not.
Okay. Do we have knives?
Yes, your survival kit includes basically a survival
any
knife.
Any bigger melee weapons?
Oh, the knife can also be affixed to your carbine as a polearm.
Okay.
So if we use that with that, would that be the fight skill?
Yes.
Yes. Yes, it would.
Excellent.
No, I'm good. So long as I have a amorphous survival kit, that's good. Good with me.
Actually, give me a survival roll.
You die.
Well,
no. If you do well enough, I will give you a boost that you can tap at whatever time you survival might come up during the game, and you can say, "I thought to bring this."
That is a 4.
There you go. Okay,
very good. So, you have a boost that when you tap it will basically allow you a +2 under a survival situation, or you can say, I have this item that I thought to bring for survival purposes.
That's
The good reason is not to have it on me, but would I have some form of fake ID set?
That is chip-worthy. You may have take a chip for that. Just keep track of a total somewhere. Everybody starts with 3 unless you took more than 3 stunts. What kind of identification would you like to have? Right now, no one currently knows if Germany is imposing any kind of paper system on the citizens that are left there. That's something else that you're supposed to find out. So what do you think you might need?
Papers identify me as German. Okay. Preferably in the German military, but I don't know how much. As you say, I don't know how much we know about that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a deceive skill yourself?
Yep, 3.
Okay, give me a roll.
Pink. 1. Woo! Okay. Behold the power of my 1.
All right, which will is enough to acquire some basic passports, noting you as a German citizen working in the government, but you're not a ranking officer. You just didn't have
the name of this is Gerhard Maschalk. I don't know where they got it from.
So you're a you're a German bureaucrat. The soldier IDs were just too hard to forge. Do you wish to make one for everyone else? If so, you can use the same roll. You don't have to roll again. That is what I'm saying.
Do people want one? Is the question?
Yeah, absolutely. I won't.
I'll take one.
Oh, whoever wants one gets one.
Does anyone look non-Aryan, by the way?
I look Russian.
How can you look German is the question.
I immigrated.
That's possible.
Well, there was a substantial portion of older Germans.
Mm-hmm. All right, so the idea is you need to pack light, but if there's anything else anyone can think of preliminary to this trip.
Have rations?
As I said, you're supposed to scavenge off the land, but you are given some dried fruit and basically protein bars made mostly of nuts.
Do we have like something that can make clean water, like clean water pills or anything similar to that?
Don't believe they had such a thing at the time, so no.
We've got alchemists.
We have
not high on anyone's priority when clean water is plentiful.
Damn. Do we have? Can we have some Deutschmark?
Yes. Yeah, you will all be given a sum of Deutschmarks. That is fine. Oh, something else I didn't mention about the armor. And this is something that you will all be told once basically the room is cleared out and only your commanding officer is there. Your battle suits actually have one more function that can be used twice. They're able to create a degaussing field that will rid you of T-rays. You must use it before you're extracted, and it can be used one more time.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was armor 1, 2, 3. I can't remember what you
armor mean. 1. Its limitation is because of how much energy it needs. It's got basically a battery supply that will allow 2 charges of the degaussing field.
Could we have some German uniforms to go along with our?
Too bulky.
Okay.
And uniforms would mean you're part of the military, and we don't have the evidence for that. We don't have the papers for it.
Oh, I thought our papers said we were.
We're citizens, but we're not in the military.
Oh, sweet. You thought of a Kurvish story for that?
We are here to convert them, of course.
Well, there are a lot of German citizens there now because they're doing a lot of construction in the area, especially along the lines of keeping that fence maintained. So there's lots of...
Yeah, we're on an inspection tour, yes.
Okay,
must report back to the Bureau of Fence Making.
Even a basic civilian get-up would be too bulky?
Well, a basic civilian get-up can be gotten on land. Because remember, you are parachuting out of a plane at severely high altitude.
Oh, yeah, I'm just...
Are we doing a halo jump?
You are doing a halo. A very high halo jump, as a matter of fact.
I'm going to die before I land, then.
Well, I will make sure to consume your corpse, as is the way of my people.
But basic clothing can be gotten once you're on land and make contact with friendlies.
That assumes we make contact with friendlies.
Yeah, it's like if we make contact. Yeah.
Well, if you're if all of your soldierly education holds up, you should drop pretty close to where you should be on the map. And as I said, they gave you a map of a friendly village and a contact there.
Isn't the key where there should? When does a plant ever survive first contact?
Real quick,
or our ability to roll.
Yeah. I have a feeling we're all gonna like completely flub the halo jump.
Make for a short game then, wouldn't it?
Yes.
We all land on the fence and become electrocuted.
Oh, is this a night jump?
Or what's that? Most definitely a night jump. Oh,
do we have a camera or some kind?
Do we have altimeters?
You can get a small film camera.
Do we have torches?
Flashlights? Mm-hmm. Yes. They'll be part of your survival kit.
Can we get infrared is pretty well though.
Although you can get the goggles that Air Bauer Incorporated has begun to mass produce.
Yeah, I would like those.
Yeah, they are not night vision, but they will help under various bad conditions.
That sounds good. At weather.
Least. Okay, I'm ready to die.
Yep, I'm ready. Go.
All right. All right, so you all are boarded upon one of the new Metapole aircraft. It's not, this is going to happen before the bringing up of season 3. So this is like a year after, pretty close to a year. Aeronautics has, the technology in aeronautics has doubled in this time, mostly for protection on our end. But pilots are very in vogue right now. There's constantly an air squadron going around Metapole, for instance, and they refuel in the floating city above that continually keep us protected. They're actually have been outfitted to be able to knock out incoming missiles and that sort of thing. But the flying culture is very, very large right now. So you have an ace flyboy who's going to be bringing you in under the cover of night at extreme altitudes. He's one of the best that they have. He says, I don't guarantee a smooth ride, but I guarantee a prompt delivery. Smiles at everyone.
I look at him.
Hey. You remind me like my old pilot. Heroes to you. Oh, by the way, I was given a flask was part of my equipment, right?
if you wanted to bring liquor. Sure.
Yes. Of course I'm bringing liquor.
Yeah,
I think it's part of my character.
Actually, I think liquor and smokes are part of everybody's survival kit.
I'll sacrifice smokes for more liquor.
Long as they have a pretty depending good party in Vegas with us.
Yeah. The liquor is also your antiseptic, so I wouldn't drink it all.
Depending on the time period, there could have been all sorts of things in that survival kit.
Yep,
very sure. Twinkie?
Ooh,
a survival kit full of drugs.
Shit. Do we have a med kit?
Anyone actually trained as a medical officer? If not,
I am now.
Okay. Then yes, you have a fairly expansive medical kit also in the canvas roll. So you've got, you know, all the basics, including things that you could do some minor surgery with.
Cool.
As well as a plethora of different chemicals that will help with blood clotting and anesthesia, that sort of thing.
I give a big thumbs up.
Ooh.
Potassium.
Everyone else has a very basic trauma kit, which is just going to be sutures and bandages, basically, and a bottle of alcohol or a flask of alcohol.
And a bottle of placebos.
Yeah. These will keep the T-rays off you. Wink, wink. All right. So, yes, the air flight begins early in the afternoon. They're going to take a fairly circuitous route as they know that the Germans have been tracking airspace. So he's going to make a few circles, make it look like normal commercial traffic, and then he's going to engage some specialized equipment and go in over their airspace during the night. During that time, you guys are basically in a cargo bay. You're outfitted with some newspapers and magazines to keep you from being bored because it's going to be a fairly long trip.
I've got a harmonica.
There you go.
Okay. Well, James's character dies earlier than expected.
Funny, you've never had to do a rectal harmonica removal before, Doc.
And now I never will, Chunk.
you kill some time, either exchanging some pleasantries with one another or not. You have spent enough time with one another in training to know each other's basic skill sets.
Yeah, actually, there might be an idea. We just quickly go around and say what our high and low aspects are, at least, so we have some idea.
And introduce your characters by name, too, since that part didn't get onto the recording yet.
Yeah.
Just start by the icons there, so let's go with Marceau first, and then just go in order.
I am Marceau, a French agent who has been assigned to help, has been signed up with the Metapole Rangers. My whole concept is a smile gets you everywhere, and my trouble is flinch from the fight. You know that's me, and I do not get into any kind of physical combat if I can avoid it.
My name is Logos, and I am currently playing Jim Miller. His high concept is Rogers Rangers Original. His trouble is missing English family, and he is the resident survival slash doctor slash shoot men in face man.
My name is Marcus, and I am playing Sergei Avalov. My high concept is captain without a ship. I used to be a good cap. Now I do other things. My trouble is, I lost crew in bombing on London. I was outside London. I drink to get away from pain. I'm alcoholic. But I like my explosives, and I know how to fight getting a good scrap. And I have good eyes.
I'm Josh, and I'm playing Max Wallaby, whose high concept... is bounty hunter turned ranger. He was a bounty hunter in Metapol, but he decided to sign up for reasons of his trouble. Criminal enemies who he couldn't prove were doing illegal things, and now they are after him, so he had to get away. He is very skilled at shooting people, whereas he is merely good at stabbing them.
Sounds good. I didn't bring it up before, but Jabus is Marceau, a French experiment. Do you have any extra normal abilities?
No. Okay. No, he's just a plain, straight French agent. It's mainly, I got the name. I liked having his name more than the fact that he was French. Oh, let's go with the mime artist as the face man.
All right, so time comes for you to jump. You're all basically given a face mask that's got enough oxygen for the few minutes that you're going to be leaping out of a oxygen-depleted environment as the plane is running above normal altitudes. You all have jump meters telling you when you should deploy your chute, and your chutes are commando style, so you are able to use them to navigate about somewhat. Excuse me. All right. Red light goes on in the hold, and over the speakers you hear your flyboy telling you, coming up on the target, and three. Red light goes to yellow, two, and then to green, one.
A jump. And
you hear a ka-chunk as the side doors slam
oh,
open.
Oh, shit.
Yes.
The wall.
The doc jumped into a wall and rebounds.
I was too eager.
Whee. Yes. Who's the team leader?
Ah, that's for you all to figure out.
Face Who Man. Wants to be team leader?
Faceman is always team leader.
Faceman's always team leader until we get into combat, because he's going to ride.
Well, he's Faceman.
All right, so you're in free fall. For a few minutes, when you're...
I regret everything!
Your oxygen canisters give out, and looking at your altimeter, you're counting down till it redlines when you're supposed to pull your chutes. Everyone pulls their chutes, I assume?
Yes.
Yes.
Right. Okay. No, I wait till I hit the ground. How many boxes do I take?
Perfect deployment. Everyone's chute deploys as needed. Now, if everyone can give me athletics rolls, and this is where you are going to control your descent and directionality.
Thank God for giving me the 3+1. Thank God for
taking negative roll.
You know what? I'm very much glad that we are back in the days when a 1 is a success.
Yes.
I got a 2.
All right. Yes, everyone is able to stay in perfect synchronous with one another. You've got a perfect kind of flying chevron going as you descend. And let's see, what was the worst of the rolls? So 2?
Yes.
Yeah, so you guys are right. You're spot on target and you hit the ground. No sign of artillery flak going after your plane. Your parachutes are designed to kind of, the inside canopies mimic the skyline, so it's very difficult to see you dropping at night, as well as your uniforms also giving you some disguise ability. So everyone lands perfectly just outside the village that you're supposed to meet your contact, and you basically landed on a fallow field. It hasn't been plowed under yet, and it's a little ways from the village outside of any outside of the village lights.
The first thing we need to do is stow our parachutes.
Yep, I will go ahead and immediately detach my parachute to just do a quick recon and ensure this area is safe.
I follow instructions.
I will accompany him.
All right. Notice rolls.
Notice rolls?
Yep.
Okay.
Zero.
Three, and I would like to remind you, danger sense. So if anything dangerous happens,
wow.
I'm not affected
That's
by
not
life.
How danger sense actually works
I know.
Anymore. Yeah, I know. Danger sense now actually gives you your full notice rolls despite things that might give you penalties.
Like nighttime.
Yes.
That's what I mean. I'm just saying, it's night.
All right. And what was the best roll there?
Jameson's.
Was that, if four. You were, whatever penalties aside, four for me.
Not bad. You all have Drina's special glasses on, so with the lights that are coming from the village, provides enough ambient light that you can see well enough around you. Looks like you have landed without bringing anyone's attention. There doesn't seem to be any perimeter guards out here. The village ahead is fairly small. It looks to be a grouping of maybe 10 to 15 separate buildings with a town square. Lights are provided there are light bulbs strung through the town, providing some illumination.
All right. After stowing away the pressures, we spread out so we're all 20 yards apart.
I will also try to make it look like we were never here, best as I can.
Sure. So you're trying to disguise the landing zone. Mm-hmm. Probably deceive?
Not survival.
I think you could make a play for survival.
Yeah, masking your tracks, sure, that'd allow.
Yeah, tracking roll, anti-tracking roll.
Sure. What are you keying your survival off of? What skill?
Lore, basically. Sure. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Wow.
Very nice. Okay. Yep. It was made easy by the fact that you landed in an open field. I guess with that roll, you want to hide your packs as well since they're fairly bulky.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Not a problem. Now what?
Lead your man.
Now do keep in mind that you are dressed in what is obviously some kind of military fatigue.
Well, we don't exactly have some other clothes we can change into at the moment, so we're military fatigue it is. Well, we're going up to the village. We're not going to just walk straight in. We're going to go up and scout.
Sure.
Just to make sure everything's still safe.
All right. Easy enough. As I said, there were no sentries about. It's late enough at night that everyone's turned in. This is a farming village, so everyone is to bed fairly early and up at the crack of dawn. So you don't see anyone out and about. There are a few dogs, either kenneled or leashed outside of different establishments, but they don't seem to take notice.
What does animal handling go off?
Probably either straight lore or if you've got a specialty to help you with it. Hmm. Either that or I'd give it a rapport roll. Rapport doesn't necessarily have to work with humans. It just has to work with something that is empathetic. So I would say rapport. That would make sense.
Yeah, okay.
Maybe at a minus for not specifically being schooled with doing animals. Which I will mention is one of the things I do like about one of the ways they have a setting difficulties in the new system is they give you a range of what would be difficult for a person with a skill of. So let's say, for instance, you wanted to use rapport as an animal handling. Well, it's not something that you would normally use it for, and you've got so many points in it, I can say, well, this is going to be a hard task for someone that doesn't do it normally. So what would be a hard for a person with 3 points or 4 points in it? And it gives me a breakdown of what I should do as a penalty. So I can set how difficult it is based on what your skill is, which is kind of nice.
Right, do we know where the Easterlings farm is?
Yes, you do. Okay. It is pointed out on your map.
All right.
It is actually near end to you, which is one of the reasons why your drop zone was where it was. Theirs is the big red barn that's immediately adjacent to the field. And there's a small house there as well.
That way.
As you approach it, you notice that the string lights that kind of go through the town, providing some illumination, the bulbs have been, they're either been unscrewed or they're simply burned out around this house, making this house just a little darker than the rest.
We go on, and if someone is on, say, hey, we just keep going on.
Sure. There appears to be, you have the main house, as I said, which has got a front and rear door, and you've also got the barn. So what are you approaching?
Barn for now.
All right. You enter the barn. It's got stowed hay about the floor. There's a few cows in here. There's also probably a pre-adolescent male here who has apparently fallen asleep on a hay barrel with his hay-pitching fork in hand. let's see here. Yeah. You don't wake him as you enter.
I pull the speaker through his mind to shoot him just on principle, and then, no? Okay. Who's breathing heavily?
Marcus.
Marcus. Sorry.
Stop breathing, Marcus. Better. Now, have we heard that there might be some kid here?
Yep. Your information does state that the family does have a kid or a young son.
Are we supposed to talk to the family or the son?
You weren't given specific.
Well, the question is, would the son know that we were coming? Did the family know that we were coming in general?
The family was contacted.
Right.
That contact was likely months ago, though, so they don't know. They don't, you know, they wouldn't know exactly when you were coming.
Right, we'll go up to him. Crash down.
I will. Do you want me to wake a boss? Because
quietly.
Okay.
I'll stand. I'll stand watch.
Well, I will sneak over to where he's sleeping and gently put my hand over his mouth and say,
"Yep, that's what I was thinking.
It's time for school."
His eyes get really wide and he struggles for a second. Then his, he's got his pitchfork in his hand still, and he looks about him, and then he relaxes and nods
his head. Then he stabbed you!
he nods his head in an affirmative way.
And then I will release him.
He is the one we've been expecting. Ma and Pa didn't know when he'd show, though. We've been waiting here, I've been waiting here each night.
Well, that is rather
cluttered. It took us a while, but we finally got here.
Whatever I can do to do my part. They call me Albert. He stands up and says, I'm going to join the effort when I'm old enough.
You're a good boy, Albert. Say, can you go and get your ma and pa for us so we can have a talk?
I'll get my pa. And he kind of inclines his head up to the hayloft. He says, there's some warm victuals up there. We've been bringing some out every night if y'all are hungry. And he goes and runs off to get his pa.
I'm hungry.
All right. Yeah, there's basically a crock pot set up and some more cooling coals that's got baked beans and a hunk of lamb in there.
Ooh.
And some good old-fashioned bread.
I will chow down.
Did you guys take into it? Go ahead.
Remember, someone should always be having on sentry.
I'll stand sentry. Save me some good stuff. Save me some food.
There's a goodly amount of food there. There's also a bottle of wine.
Ah, is it a good vintage?
Yeah, it's all right. Not something you'd find in a 5-star restaurant, but maybe a 3-star. After you've had some time to eat, barn door up, opens in the same end that the kid ran out, and a man who seems to be just past his prime comes in. He's wearing his homespun and looks like he had not yet gone to bed when you arrived. And keep in mind, your arrival was very late into the
evening. Right.
Has a straw hat on. He takes a look at you guys up in the hayloft and starts pulling himself up there to join you.
Okay. Once he's up, give him a firm handshake, look him in the eye. Thank you, Mr. Easterling, for supporting the Rangers.
Of course. We're doing our part to bring our nation back to us. Yeah, he looks at you. It's like, I guess they send a small group on purpose, huh? It's kind of hard to get around here. Well, I'll offer you whatever assistance I can. I got an old lorry that I can use to drive you as close as we can get to the fence. I do got paperwork to drive hay back and forth to a construction site near there, so it shouldn't be that much of a problem. We're going to have to do something about your clothes, though. I think Martha can do some letting out on some of my own to fit you all. Anything else you think you might need? He looks not really nervous. He just looks like he's out of his element. Like this whole conspiracy thing is not something he's really used to or comfortable with.
We're not going to ask too much of you there, Mr. Easterling. We just want to get close, and then we'll take it from there. You'll be perfectly safe.
What is security like around here, Mr. Easterling?
Well, you got roaming bands of Germans that come out around occasionally, and they were just here 3 days ago, but they don't keep to a schedule. They could come back even the same day, sometimes next day, so it's hard to tell. As long as no one puts up much resistance, they let us, carry on with life as we normally do. Sometimes they come around and take a cow or a pig, never enough to leave us starving. Of course, they don't pay for nothing either.
Any paperwork requirements?
I'm sorry, sir. Your accent's a little thick there.
Do you require paperwork to move around?
Yes, you do, sir. On the main roads, there's always German outposts where they check paperwork. It's not a problem as long as you've got the proper permits. And of course, moving around inside the same town is okay. But if you try to leave your own town without the proper papers, well, they say they take them off to prison or camps, but, and, he looks a little shaky. He says, I've passed by old fields, though, that, been planted with bodies, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a, well, gosh.
Well, I've got some papers for some helpers. They're just general papers. I usually have to have some hands. You know, I'm getting a little up there on age, and I can't do things like I used to. So they've allowed me up to 5 helpers. I've got papers for that.
Sounds excellent. Thank you much. We're not going to, of course, ask of anything else of you tonight. We're just willing to leave until tomorrow, and we'll arrange for the trip into the area. How far are we away from the town? From the
it's about a 3-hour drive with all the stops we'll have to make.
Hmm.
All right.
You had a question there, sir.
Guns.
They don't allow us to have any weapons. Although do have an old service pistol around.
Okay, so hiding them would be.
Hiding them would be a very good idea. May I see vehicle so I can plan hiding?
Oh,
if they've got hay, we can probably quite easily hide them in the hay.
So he takes you to a corner of the barn, and he grabs what looked to be just like a stack of hay bales covered canvas, and he yanks off the canvas tarp, and it's an old open back lorry that's already got several stacks of hay piled up on it.
Mm-hmm.
Runs on diesel. Been in the family for a while, but it's still in good shape.
I figure out the best way to hide the stuff.
Oh, yeah. It's a big old vehicle. I mean, there are numerous places that you could strap your guns or, you know.
Yep, and this is why I have the smuggler's touch.
All right, well, then I will...
We don't want to know where you've been touched by smugglers.
I will go out and grab our packs and give them to the smuggler and so he can secrete them around the vehicle.
All right. Okay. Sure, give me a roll there, smuggler.
Is it going to be deceive or burglary? I guess it doesn't matter.
Burglary is a good one.
Wow.
You just roll a -4.
No, actually, I rolled a 1. Yeah. Still a success.
Okay. 1's a success, but also keep in mind that that's the difficulty that they're going to have to achieve.
Right. Right. I will spend one of my very few chips to make sure it's a, just make it a nice even 3. That way it's a little bit hard for them because of smuggler's touch.
Mm-hmm. And you strap the packs and the guns to various, you know, underneath the car in numerous places. There's lots of room in the engine compartment. You know, there's this cavernous space, a little bitty engine. Hollow out a couple of hay bales and stick some things in there. But yeah, you think you do a passable job. Farmer says, well, we got about 5 hours, before dawn. If I stick to my normal time schedule, we'll have to leave then.
Okay. Well, I will, wants to take a watch.
I'll take first watch.
I'll take second, and then everybody else can get
he'll, the he'll offer to stand, well, no, he'll offer his son to stand watch.
No, that's quite all right.
You're gonna tattle on his son?
No, I'm not. I'm just... It's quite all right.
Hey, you guys, I'm sure, caught some sleep on the plane, too, so it's not like anyone's overly tired or anything. All right. So you sleep in a hayloft with, I guess, half of you standing watch at a time. It's plenty warm, and the food will last, you know, all night into the morning. If you have no planning to do, we'll just take up in the morning. Unless you
probably we
plans.
Should, but I can't think of anything like that.
Well, really, what is our goal? To find the generator that's
your
creating?
Goal is to find out any information you can on what is powering the fence system or their degaussing system, as well as any other information on the situation on the ground that you can come back with.
Okay.
So they've had very little information at all since the bomb dropped, so anything you can bring back. But in particular, they want you to find out what the fence is running on.
Okay, so...
Good rules and happy thoughts.
So, Mr. What's the Frenchman's name?
Marcel.
Frenchy. I'd suggest you ride up in the cavern with the farmer, and that way you can pump him for information. And if things go of an if in nature with the Germans, you might be able, with a quick wit and a sure hand, be able to disguise them. If things look like they're gonna go wrong, I say that a code word should be "ow." You know, just work "ow" into the conversation. We'll draw pistols and or various guns and then gun them down. That way we don't
"ow" or "owl."
Owl, like the bird.
Right.
Owl in the barn. You know, make up a folksy saying about owls and barn, and that way we'll know to plug them full of bullets.
Something else that would have been in the briefing is, of course, you're trying to keep as low profile as possible because you've also got to find a way to extricate yourself. They have a couple of methods set up. They have a boat that can meet you. They have flights. If you're managed to be able to sneak through security to get on a plane, they have an airfield you can, try to get out of as well. The idea is, to avoid contact, but if you have to, there, it will probably be assumed that the local resistance caused it. So taking out Germans while you're here is not out of protocol. But it would be hard to succeed in what you need to succeed if you
just gun down, which is why. However, the plan is not to get caught first and then do it as stealthily as possible. So
take them out swiftly and without them being able to contact anyone else.
Well, yeah, but I mean, hopefully we'll never have to use the code phrase. But it's better to have it and not use it, not have it at all.
I wondered what our exit strategy was, so it's either a boat or a plane.
Well, those are two pre-set up, but if you find, if you find another way out, that's fine too. But there are two. One of them requires you sneaking onto an airfield past security, though. The other requires you being able to sneak onto a wharf past security. So they're not great ways out, but they're there.
Okay.
The big thing is to get the information out.
Yeah, once come a fist with telling guys ways, we can just walk through anything, literally.
If we're that invested, then it's goodbye sanity. Quick questions that you're gonna wanna perhaps ask are about the German, you know, whether or not they're German agents, you know, besides what they have, what type of government that they're setting up, and you know, any resource extraction besides they come by and take stuff without paying. Do we have a radio?
No.
Okay.
But if you have the craft skill, you know how to put one together from basic parts.
Yeah.
Who's the crafter guy?
Sergey.
Sergey. Okay. Well, Sergey, you will actually have some crystals in your toolbox that will be the hard part to find for a crystal radio. So you have a few.
Perhaps we can see if we can do some various scanning of various frequencies while we're here to see if we can pick up on some radio traffic. There, okay. Mr. Sergey.
Okay, I can put something together.
Sergey, actually, since you were the one packing stuff into the lorry, you noticed that the lorry has a radio.
Okay, turn on the radio.
You basically get nothing but static except for one station that comes through loud and clear, and it is a German propaganda station.
Oh,
done not in even English, telling the English residents how good it is to be a German, and how should they should desire citizenship.
Well, of course, who wouldn't?
Yes. Membership into the greater German prosperity sphere.
Wow, Japanese assholes. I mean, yeah, all right. Well, at least we can write down what they're...
It does give some other information, too. It gives, you know, time, expected weather. Actually, it'll also give a... citizens and pending citizens are warned to stay away from such and such interstates or such and such road crossings between these times, as we will be moving construction vehicles through, et cetera, et cetera. Lots of public service messages.
Let's take a quick note of those. That way we can...
Yep, you have a map. You can find those areas on a map.
Mm-hmm. I'd be interested to see if we can I mean, we are on a sightseeing tour, so perhaps we should take a look at some of this construction construction equipment that they're moving around.
Is anyone native, native British?
Nope. My family is from Britain.
Okay, but you aren't, right?
I'm
born and raised elsewhere?
No, I immigrated to Medipole when I was a young man.
Okay, so. Right.
Talking about that there, Somerset. No one knows where that is.
All right. Well, if there's no other planning to be had, before the light of dawn, Farmer comes back, and apparently him and his wife are working most of the night to produce you some clothing. It's basically overalls and some straw hats and some working shirts. They're bulky enough that they can actually cover your uniforms.
Ooh.
So you need not have to remove your uniforms.
Neat.
And he hands each of you some folded paper, and basically it's just designating you as a member of this township, which I did not make a name for, so township of, etc., as hired help to farmer. It's his name and his farm's name on there. Essentially, it's part of a contract for him to provide hay to the occupying forces, to which he's being paid. Basically, they're giving him diesel fuel and a few other... He's not getting paid in money of any kind. He's being paid with enough diesel to basically do his job and have enough left over to use a tractor on his field, as well as extra rations and food. And he explains that once a month they're able to go and petition for extra water if they need it, medical supplies, food if they need it, that sort of thing, as some of the townships are not doing as well.
Okay.
So is it just him and me up front, or is room for more?
Oh, there's there. You can have four people up front if you want.
Okay.
And then anyone else who wants to sit on the back hay bales can. His son is... It's just going to be him and you guys going. He doesn't want to expose his son to any potential problems, if that's all right.
I'll sit in the back.
I think, given that, as far as I'm saying, Max and Sergei are probably the two best shots we have.
I'm
a good shot.
Are you?
Yep.
I just need to be able to get out of the vehicle and run at them.
Yeah.
I'm decent at spotting things.
I am a very good shot. In fact, I am a great shot.
You should probably be in the back then. We've got more room to operate a rifle.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly. Well, that's what I was trying to get to. I thought Sujo was, too. He's not. He's melee. Yeah.
All right. So three of you in the front cab and the other two of you in the back heads off down the road. His wife has packed a picnic lunch for everybody. Another bottle of wine in there. Wine is one of the things that he gets paid in.
Not beer?
No, actually, all the bottles, Marceau probably noticed last night and notices even more today that they're French wines.
Just the animals taking our fine wines.
No, they're taking your mediocre wines. All right.
It's more like, good on the French. We sold them the inferior stuff. Only three stuff.
Everybody give me notice rolls for the scene.
I notice nothing. Think. Yep. I notice one.
Two.
Damn it.
And we'll give the farmer a roll here, too.
I think I did the best.
Yep.
Joshua.
You still with us, Joshua? Notice roll, Joshua.
You failed?
Yes, I'm still with you. I'm being lagged. Chrome dislikes me.
Because you're there
you go. Ah. A one.
There you go. Wow.
One. Okay.
Cross the board.
You guys come to the first check spot. Farmer actually tells you under his breath as you're coming to it that there'll be three more before they get to their destination. And it is basically a barricade of two movable fence-like structures that are put over the road. There's a small pillbox been set up here. It's a machine gun nest. There's two people inside manning the guns, and there's two Germans on the outside, everybody in uniform. One of them covers another as he comes up and approaches the cab. Says, more hay. Says, I have your paperwork right here. So you have some new helpers. He looks hard at all of you. Before he even takes the farmer's papers, he walks around the car. He taps it here and there with his nightstick. Oh, wow.
he puts some more guns in place. And
It seems your village has some very strong men. Perhaps we'll be seeing you a citizen soon. Join our army. We could use people like you. He puts a big, hearty hand clap on your shoulders there, Sergey.
Wait, and, aren't I in the cab? Or am I?
No. Where do you want to be? Because if you're in the cab...
I thought I was in the cab because we had the, I thought that we had the two people who knew how to shoot in the back, and then I was in the cab.
Okay, yeah. Then he comes around to that side of your door and claps you on the side that's facing the door. He doesn't even look at the farmer's papers, actually. He's got it in his hands, and he just stamps them and hands them back without looking into them to the farmer. He signals back to his men, and they pull the blockades out of the way. And you continue on.
As we go on, would he be here on duty when you come back?
Yes, they're usually on duty the entire day.
Right.
They don't rotate him out very frequently. It's probably why they're not so observant. The farmer's sweating bullets.
I'm thinking more that at the next checkpoint we want to make a point of, we'll be dropped off at the construction site to stay there for a while. Otherwise, they'll be wondering why you're not bringing us back.
Well,
Farmer looks a little frightened at this. He's like, I'm not bringing you back? I figured you guys would go and do your job while I was getting all the hay delivered and such.
Well, we'll see how it goes, but it'd be probably best not to expect us to return. If we make it back, that's fine, but otherwise, don't be alarmed if we don't.
Oh, he looks a little shaky. He says, well sometimes they take they take my helpers and get them to do other work. I suppose I could bluff my way past that guy. He's not all that observant. I see him a lot. He's friendly enough.
Yeah. That sounds great. Perfect.
He looks really unsure about this. But
that's why I'm sort of being reassuring. That's why you've got it all covered there. You've got a great story. It's all perfect. Nothing to worry about.
Travel on for another 40 minutes or so.
I'll be asking about, what else has he seen around here? Has he seen anyone actually, does he know of anyone actually gone, helped with the gate building or building the fence or gone beyond the fence?
Ah, he does actually. And,
triggered exposition point.
Yes, a lot of the people that get pulled in to work on the fence, either they don't get back or they get sick, within a week or two afterwards. And they start raving about seeing things and break out into sweats. And eventually the Germans come by and take them away.
So what guarantees do we have that this fence actually works and is not a big old propaganda thing?
You're in the cab, too. You're in the cab, too, right?
No, I'm not in the cab.
You're not in the cab. Okay. Yeah.
No.
So there's a week delay on that. Well, yeah. So you've never been there yourself, of course?
No. I've gotten close enough to see it in the distance, but they're doing an awful lot of construction in those old ruins. Not old ruins, in the ruins, though. And there's machinery moving around all the time in there, and they're doing blasting and who knows what else in there.
Do they bring in the machines from Germany, or they source them locally, or get them to build? Made locally, or?
I don't know. I got a cousin out in the docks, and he says that there's these strange contraptions come off the ships quite often, all crated off. He took a look at one once. He said it was some bizarre two-legged affair. It looked like a tank with legs.
And we've heard nothing about this bit, I assume?
Sorry, say that again.
We've heard nothing about this?
Nope.
Just one of our ideas were to pull off for a bit and let us get off and see, look at the road as it passes by. I'm a fairly stealthy individual myself, so I could.
Sure, you'll sort out just a tap on the cab if you want that to happen.
Yeah, I can.
He does tell you that after the initial bombing, a lot of people fled to the countryside. Apparently, the bombs didn't penetrate below ground level, so a lot of the tunnel systems and the pneumatic subways were still not operational, but the tunnels held, and a lot of people were able to get to the outskirts and from there to the town. And there were all kinds of rumors about creatures being seen and people getting sick. And he was outside of London when this all happened, so he doesn't have any first-hand knowledge of it.
Yeah, I can...
probably a bunch of German propaganda.
At the appropriate time, based on the map that we have, I will knock on the door so that I can get out and look at the main highway and stealth about and see if I can see some of these contraptions.
Did we bring binoculars?
Farmer, sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll say that's easy enough to do. The farmer does seem a little concerned. He says that if he's late getting to the next checkpoint, they'll know. So should he keep driving and you catch up, or?
I look at the map. Is there an area where if I hustle, I can do that?
Yes.
I can make that happen. Then yeah, he continues on and I'll catch up.
Okay.
So I will I will hop out the back without my rifle. And if I get caught, I'm fucked anyway. So I will.
All right. So you go off into the countryside. You're basically going down what's essentially a two-lane dirt road, or it's wide enough for two lanes, I should say. But there's not really any structures around. Occasionally, you'll see a windmill in the distance or a grain silo, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But no real housings or dwellings. You know, you're in the English countryside, so hop off. And what are you looking for?
Basically, that road. The major highway, that intersection that they said was
all right. Looking at your map, you find a hilltop where you think you can get a great view with the use of your binoculars down onto the road the newscast was talking about.
Okay.
How's that?
That sounds great. I will use my stealth to approach it and basically crab walk or crawl.
Sure. I don't require a stealth roll, as there's nothing interesting that's going to happen if you fail. You make it to the hillock, and using your binoculars, you take a look. There is a convoy of long flatbed trucks that have some, they look like digging machinery on the back. This is not, this is a new character, so they wouldn't be familiar with the corkscrew digger things, but so the player knows that's what you're seeing.
Mm-hmm.
As the farmer said, they look like tanks with legs, and they're all kind of, got the reversed, the reticulated legs, you know, kind of like a dog leg, chicken leg, whatever you want to call it.
Okay.
And they're kind of squatted down on the back of these flatbeds, and they're all being driven up to a road that intersects. Well, actually, everything going this direction will eventually intersect the fence.
Okay.
Are we talking Metal Gear, or are we talking Half-Life 2?
Talking like Gear Creek.
I don't know what that is.
You don't know Gear Creek. All right. Yeah. Well, they literally look like a tank with a turret with, metallic, chicken legs beneath so that they're more mobile, I guess.
Right. This really sounds a lot like the things from Half-Life 2.
I haven't played Half-Life 2, but you may be right.
Yeah. I can't remember what they're called. Anyway.
Then I will hustle back.
Yep. Give me an athletics roll here. See if you can make
as
it.
As we get closer to the various checkpoints, I want to be talking to him about mundane things like how do you do the hay harvest and all that sort of thing to calm him down for each checkpoint.
Okay. Give me a rapport roll.
That I might be able to do. A little bit of calmness.
Yeah, no problem. Nick, you are able to dive back onto the back of the truck as it passes by.
Just casually stroll up to it and hop in the back. And I was always here. What do you mean I wasn't here? Oh.
The farmer is somewhat calmer by the time you come to the second checkpoint. This one has two pillboxes with the machine gun nest, and there's several more men out. The blockade across the road is a lot more elaborate, and there seems to be kind of a wall, not very tall, about 4 foot tall wall that's been erected around the sides that go off to the sides of the road a little bit. So that if you were trying to ram a truck through, for instance, you couldn't just go around the blockade. It actually stretches out a bit. Two of the Germans approach you. These seem to be a lot more alert. There's not a smile on this guy's lips in the least bit. He tears the paper away from the farmer's hands. He gives it a very studious look. And, there we go. Okay. He says, he motions for the people in the cab, and in the back, Lori says, out! All of you, get out!
I hop now.
Stand there. Line up. Stand there.
I line up and stand there.
And he nods to his men, who basically start rifling through the car. You know, they check the seats, the dash, and that sort of thing.
It's good to see the German machinery in action. Quite a good example for the German prosperity life.
One of them comes back with a bottle of French wine and a pack of cigarettes that the farmer apparently had stashed behind the seat. And the farmer starts blubbering a little bit, and he says, it was payment for the hay. It's in the papers. And the guy looks down, and he gives kind of a cruel, twisted smile and says, No, these were not in any papers. And he pockets the cigarettes and the wine he hands to another man. Okay, go get about your business.
Douchebag.
I made sure the farmer gets in without any more outcries.
Okay, get back in. The farmer says another 20 minutes he's going to be at the site where he's going to need to wait in line for a while before he has to unload the hay and spread it out. He'll be at the site for probably 3 hours, partly because of the waiting and partly because it'll just be him doing the work. There's not a checkpoint really at this next spot, but there will be workers there that may or may not want to go over the car. So, yeah, your choice whether or not you want to be gone before he enters.
What would be better? Given that we've had our papers stamped, I assume. So,
actually, the second guy didn't stamp anything.
Oh. Why did the first guy stamp something and the second guy not stamp something?
Because one's a douchebag and the other one isn't.
The farmer says sometimes they do this just to extort money or things from us.
Right, no, but why didn't he stamp?
Well, just that. If I go back through, he may make a stink and demand something from me.
Okay. Alright, so I guess if we disappear now, then it's better for you?
Yeah, if they see me coming in with four men and there aren't four men helping me unload, they'll get suspicious.
So we'll just meet back here in 3 hours? Or?
Yeah, he marks about how far you are from the last checkpoint and says, yeah, I'll stop here for a bit if after I'm done with my work.
Yeah, okay. Don't hang around too long, though. If it's going to cause you any trouble with the checkpoints and that, just go on. We'll make our own way. Yeah. You've been doing great work there. Great work, man.
Jerks, as it should be. All right.
So you guys hop out before he gets to the construction site. Goes on through. You guys
We also make sure to grab our equipment.
Yes, of course. you guys are about two and a half miles from the closest portion of fence here.
Can't go on. Being 2 feet.
Well, I shoot him and leave him for dead, and then, now I am the leader! This is how this works! Huzzah!
Okay, works for me. Minds me back home.
I will go ahead and take point and jog ahead a bit and just, you know, see what's up.
Sure. are you guys still wearing the homespun, or are you stripped down to your camouflaging material?
Camouflaging, was it? Ish.
Yeah.
It's camouflaging-ish.
Camouflaging-ish.
It breaks up your silhouette. It's not like a true chameleon type of thing where it adapts to the environment, but the colors don't seem to be static. They seem to morph here and there, and so it helps to break up your silhouette, but it's not exactly invisibility or anything like that.
Yeah, let's strip down to the camo, and then if we have a portion where we need to speak with people, we'll put back on clothes and hide crap.
It's not difficult. I mean, basically, you're wearing overalls and a big floppy shirt and hat, so it's not difficult.
Sounds good. That is what I do.
All right. Let's see. Now, this is the question. There really isn't a stealth skill in this game.
Yes, there is.
What is it
called?
Yes, there
is.
Stealth. It's on the back of my card. Yes. Okay.
What does stealth roll?
Stealth rolls?
What's the stealth you speak about? I don't know what you're talking about.
And you're going to get a +1 for your camouflage. Yay. And if you don't have stealth at all, assume it's a 1 from your ranger training.
Really? That means I feel like I wasted a skill point.
No, it's because your stealth can be used for other things if you actually learned it, whereas the range of training just helps in this one area.
So is it if we don't have it, is it a +2 overall from the benefits?
Yes, +2 okay. Overall.
Wow.
Okay, so we call a +2 skill, which is one of those. Pink. Ooh, I didn't fail.
Okay, Joshua. This is something new in the system now. If you get a 0 or you tie, this is the option that you have now. You can get what you want, but at a minor cost, or you get a lesser version of what you want. So seeing as what you want is to be undiscovered, let's see, what would a minor cost be or a lesser version be? If you have any ideas, you can offer it up, otherwise
it could, perhaps it could be... A lesser version could be it takes longer, perhaps.
A minor consequence of fatigue, not he's moving in a way that's not he's accustomed to?
No, you know what I'll do? How's this? You rip your camo. You have to dive down suddenly to avoid being seen. At the last minute, you happen to see in one of these pillboxes in the distance and a little glint as a person's probably got spyglasses swing your way, and you have to dive into a ditch, and so it tears your camouflage just a little.
Sure, that sounds good.
All right, otherwise everyone makes it to the fence just fine. What it is every 10 feet or so, there's a metal pole sunk into the ground and concreted. And in between it is like a very fine, almost thread-like metal material in like a fishing net sort of configuration. It seems to be very lightweight, yet strong. And there's an obvious current of power going through it as like your hair actually stands on end if you get very close to it.
Oh,
right. Only we had someone with some sort of craft school who might be able to tell something about this.
Should I roll Birdio?
Yeah, sure.
Or I'll take a photograph so we can see what it is before we do it.
Wow, these dice are hating me.
Two, okay. Two. No, two's a success.
I know, but I'm just saying I started with a four.
Yeah.
I've been rolling negatives a lot.
Were you saying something there, Nick?
Yeah, I do have a lore skill, and this is something we should... I don't know.
Do you have craft at all?
I have no.
Okay. Well, if your lore is high enough, it'll be a higher difficulty. Go ahead and give me a roll.
Yeah, I have a lore 4, so. Well,
but not enough. I mean, you know that it's likely electrified, but you really can't tell anything else about it.
I think I should touch it.
Well, we'll do the old rock against it first. Basically, I've taken a picture, so this is the before shot.
So what does our Sevillette do? This is what he notices with his craft roll, just kind of looking at it. You know, as I said, every 10 foot there is a pole that's concreted into the ground. There's this mesh in between. If you look down the line of the fence either direction, it looks like there is an above ground cable or conduit every 50 feet or so that run on the other side of the fence, and it runs in towards the city. Oh, and from here, even without binoculars, you can see the ruins of London kind of spread out. You're in the very edges now. You can see it from this far away because everything's basically been leveled, so there's nothing breaking up your line of sight.
I wonder if the curvature of Earth would be enough to affect that.
Yeah, I think it would.
Well, yeah, London is 50 miles away, but you've also got other cities in between there and here, you know? So, yeah, if I said London, I apologize. You're seeing the wreckage of cities and such.
Right.
The fence itself is about 12
feet. Yeah, we can see about 3 miles.
Okay. So, yeah, you see, basically everything's been leveled down. There's nothing taller than like one story left.
Okay. Well, do you want to...
The fence itself is about 12 feet high.
You want to take some clippings from the fence there for you?
Marcus, are you with us?
Oh, sorry. I missed that. What did he say?
Russian man, do you want to take some clippings from the fence so we can bring it back to analyze it?
Well, that sounds good. I get close to fence. I be very careful.
Yeah, well, just rubber... Utilize some rubber and stuff.
Sounds good. I understand. Yeah. I do what I can to get part of fence.
Yeah, your gear kit will have some thick rubber gloves in it.
Does its fence seem special or like regular fence?
Oh, no, it's definitely special. The wire is very fine. It stretches between each post. So you go to mesh
doesn't finish to detect when you've got breaks in it.
Yeah. Are you going to clip part of the fence? Or are you just going to get a scraping? What are you doing exactly?
I look to them. Do we want to clip fence and potentially signal that we mess with it, or do we want shavings to figure out what type of metal it is?
Well, it depends whether or not there's a metal. You know, a lot of times you'll have a metal around another metal. I mean, if you shave it enough to ensure that you can see that there isn't, you know, some kind of glass rod or something like that in the middle, then sure.
Well, the easiest thing to do first is I grab up a lump of rock and look like I'm going to throw it, and if someone stops me...
I'm stopping. Why would you do that?
See how well the metal fence shakes and stuff. It can't, if it's going to be solid rigid when anything touches it, you won't have glass rods inside.
Sergey, with your crafts roll, you didn't see any obvious kinds of alarm system at all on it. It seems to be fairly simplistic other than the odd metal that makes the netting.
Yeah, the problem is we clip it, they'll know we were here if someone comes by.
How does it... Okay, Bert, I'm probably visualizing this wrong, but how is the top of the fence?
It just goes straight up 12 feet and stops. It's not. It doesn't look like it's meant to keep anyone out or in. It's just tall.
Because I was wondering, is it perfectly level on the top, or are there breaks? I mean, could I like...
Oh, it's level. It's level all the way across.
Okay, because I was wondering if I could just potentially, you know, just clip part of the top of it, climb a little bit, clip a little bit of the top, and then just take that, and it won't look as bad and obvious if I clip something in the middle.
There's enough of it that you think if you clip some from the bottom or the top, it probably won't be noticed. And you're fairly sure there isn't an alarm system hooked up to it.
Then I'll go for the bottom.
Clip some. We'll see what we get.
The bottom.
Okay. You expect there to be sparks when you clip, but there's not. And through your rubber gloves, your hand vibrates a little as you make the clipping. The metal is hard to cut. It's not as, even though it's very thin, it's a lot stronger than it looks. It takes a considerable amount of force to clip off bits of the metal.
This is not electrical. It's vibrations.
Well, it's not electrical at all?
It's vibrating.
Right, which also can be caused by electromagnetism. Electromagnetism is...
What's the compass doing? You said where the compass...
Yeah.
Was the compass acting up at all?
Yeah, the compass is going crazy. It's just spherical spinning.
Yeah, that's a common reaction to electromagnetic fields. Mm. Do we see anything that looks like a transmission tower?
You see these cables that are running all along the ground on the other side of the fence going off in the distance.
Okay, cables in the inside into the interior of the fence.
Yes.
All right, well, let's...
I think at some... we just need to suck it and climb over.
Yeah, I mean, clearly.
We're not going to get anywhere if we just sit around clipping it.
Well, no, but we needed a clipping anyway,
And now we need to move on.
Yeah. Do we have enough rubber gloves for all of us, or are we going to need to make a little...
No, he's only got one set that came with his mechanic set, but he also doesn't feel like it's electrified. Like, it probably wouldn't make a difference if you touched it.
Okay, it won't make difference if you touch.
Well, then you get to test out your theory.
Oh, and we test it by throwing...
Actually, no.
I Max him into the fence and see what he does, and then if he dies, that's fine.
All right, Joshua's got to go, so what's going to happen is he's going to be your rear guard, I guess.
Okay, here's what I do.
Good night,
I do proper test. I take off glove. I put back of hand. That way, if shock, hand close, not on fence.
Sure, you do it, and you feel... there's a kind of a pulsing sensation that goes through the back of your hand. It's and your fingers kind of clench and unclench along with it, but just barely. It's just like a small spasm. You still have complete control of your hand.
I have a question. Did we test out the degaussing systems on our armor? Is this like a similar feel to that? Because I'm guessing we probably tested
that. No, not at all. Not really.
Okay, just check.
Could be, for all we know, this could be.
I'm sorry if that wasn't specific. You did test your degaussing equipment. It is not the same type of effect.
It feel really weird, like time after drunk, but you still have full motor control, unlike drink. Speaking of which...
Yeah, I figure you're an expert on that, if anyone is. All right.
Don't drink to that. I take that.
Well, if we want to protect our hands, we've got these clothes, these homespun clothes, wrapped that around our hands.
Man, yep. I go over the fence. Yep.
I make sure to wear my gloves. Easier.
Give me athletic rolls.
I knew that was coming.
It is 12 feet tall.
I'm happy I get my free one, because that's all I need is my free one.
I blow my brains out because I suck.
Let's see if I can even
everyone
get that
got a one.
Yeah, no.
Yep. I have not got anything higher than zero.
Yeah, cool. The only hard part to it is that the wire that you're having to climb is so thin that it tends to slice your hands. But with using the clothes to get over, it's not difficult.
Yeah.
All right, fall down on the other side. You see one of the conduit lines that goes off into the distance.
Closely examine the conduit line. Can I just use my earlier roll, or do you want a new one?
Yeah, sure can. That's fine. Any observation rules, we'll just keep per scene, which is, you know, it's basically what you used it for. Yeah, it looks like you would swear it's a power line. But, you know, when you remove the cowling and take a look inside, it's got three wires instead of two, which is a little odd.
Grounding wire?
Grounding wires aren't properly used.
Ah, okay.
That's why it's so odd. Never invented grounding wire.
There are three wire instead of two. This is strange.
Well, there you go.
What type of wire
again, and we'll follow the conduit along.
What were you saying, Marcus?
Are they using standard copper wire, or are they using some other type of material?
You want to pull off the insulation to find out?
Sure, making sure I grab my nice rubber gloves again.
Okay, give me a crafts roll to this.
If he doesn't die, I'll take a photograph of what he's
doing. Oh, nice. Yeah, you strip the insulation expertly without touching the inside core at all. It's clear. It actually, you know, you kind of tap it with your tool. It seems like it's glass, a fibrous glass.
Click.
Is that the same for all three?
Yes, all three are that way.
Okay, just... Anything else, or is that just it for it?
That's it, yep. In modern day, you know, that would be a fiber optic cable.
That's what I was thinking. But I'm like, this not normal. You get good picture, right?
Mm-hmm.
I almost wish I could take with us, but no damage.
So, onwards.
Right. You follow the cable, and...
Yep, I'm asking Jim to scout ahead while we follow.
Scout.
Following the cable along.
All right. Cable goes into ruins of some small, like, suburban area at the edge of you find at the edge of a larger city. And there is let me change maps.
A quick question, Bert. Has anyone invented the equivalent of a Geiger counter for T-rays?
Yes. Someone invented it as a one-shot item.
So are we in Cambridge, Suffolk, Oxfordshire? Hampshire, England. Whereabouts are we?
We are in England.
We're 50 miles from London.
Yep.
We're somewhere in England.
Right. Yeah. I was just sort of, yeah.
Shouldn't the survival expert know how to use a map?
We're somewhere in England, Bubba. It doesn't matter where.
This will tell us a lot about what we expect to see in terms of...
give me a second. I'm having to issue here.
Well, all right, now, we all brought along Segway so we can drive into London, right?
Do you want to take a 5-minute break there, Bert? Or do we have it long enough?
We're doing good time. Yeah, let's go ahead and take a 5, and let me get my hard assets up there. Okay. Right, we'll pause. Music in this podcast is provided by Kevin MacLeod. More of his excellent music can be found at incompetech.com. We have several ways that you can comment on our show. You can send email to steamsteelmurder@gmail.com. You can join our public forums at bluemagic.com/forums. That's bluemagic, BLUMAGIK.com. Leave us feedback on iTunes, or visit obsidianportal.com and do a search for our title and find our campaign blog and more information about the show.
It is a center for higher learning. It is a place with centuries of secrets in its shadow halls. This is where you have come to learn the mysteries of the cosmos. We are pleased to present the Miskatonic University Podcast. On our campus, you will learn the deepest secrets of the Call of Cthulhu role-playing game. From rules mechanics to beings of the mythos and insanities that plague men's minds. Join us at www.mu-podcast.com.